the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, first up this morning, following Donald Trump's historic criminal conviction on Thursday, his presidential campaign team claims to have raised a record $53 million, as you would have heard there on the news, in donations in the aftermath of the conviction, a rate they say of $2 million per hour. And in his and his billionaire friends and supporters, including Elon Musk, have rallied in his defence. Rather than destroying his campaign, could his legal woes actually propel him towards the White House? To discuss this, I'm joined by Marion McKeown, US correspondent of the Business Post. Marion, you're very welcome. I suppose, first of all, the impact that this is having financially, could it end up, it seems in the early stages, to be financially helping his campaign?
Oh, good morning, Richard. And I absolutely agree with you. There has never been a fundraising 24 hours like this one in American electoral history. To give you a sense of how much money, how successful it's been in terms of a fundraising perspective, when he was indicted last year, he raised $4 million in 24 hours in New York. And people were astonished by that. They were astounded by it. To have raised $53 million in a 24-hour period is literally unprecedented, as in so many things, Trump. So initially, it seems that a lot. Now, this is what we're being told by the campaign. We won't know for sure until the FEC filings arrive next month. But his campaign managers have told us that they've raised $53 million and that it's overwhelmingly in small donations. But we've also had a flood of announcements, if you will, and pledges from big Silicon Valley and from big donors. The Silicon Valley venture capitalist Sean McGuire immediately after the verdict posted that he had just donated $300,000 to Trump's operation, to one of his super PACs. Now, the big donors
that'd be like an impulse purchase for some of us, I suppose.
An impulse purchase. You could certainly look at it that way. But it is Trump has a knack for turning hors d'oeuvres, shall we say, into gold. You know, when it comes to fundraising, he had a big fundraiser in Mar-a-Lago on April 6th when all of the big business who had been really staying away from him, who'd been kind of hoping Nikki Haley might win or somebody else might win, Ron DeSantis even, they've all come flooding back. We're talking oil, we're talking tech, we're talking Wall Street,
some of those big names. One very interesting, well-known figure, one of the big fish of Wall Street, would be Steve Schwarzman, the head of BlackRock. And he's reported to have attended a private fundraiser in Manhattan shortly after the verdict. He's particularly interesting because he was very critical of what happened in 2021 with the storming of Capitol Hill and the mob. And it appeared as if he had backed away from Trump, but he's now changed his mind.
That's right. And it's kind of extraordinary. And also Nelson Peltz, who's, of course, the big activist investor, who's also based down in Florida. After January 6th, he said he regretted voting for Trump. Well, he just, at the end of March, he hosted a big fundraiser for him in his mansion in Florida. So they're all coming back. They're all having their come to Jesus moments. And I think that for two reasons, partly, as Trump so crudely put it, when he had a meeting with, I think it was about a dozen oil industry executives, and he said, if you give me $1 million, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, or $1 billion, I'll make it worth your while. I'll give you whatever you know, you need in terms of reversing climate change regulations, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it was so transactional that the finance committee and the budget committees are currently investigating it. They think that it was a quid pro quo too far. But basically, he sat in a room with them and said, give me $1 billion and I'll basically give you whatever you want. There's also concern that the oil and gas industry has already drafted, ready to sign executive orders that would just basically eviscerate all of Biden's environmental policies, which would be signed by Trump literally the day he arrives in the White House. So Trump is letting it be known that he will be very, very favourable to business across the spectrum, and that he wants money from them in advance, basically, up front.
On those big donors, you could argue that they may have somewhat slightly different motivations. Some of them may feel ideologically aligned to Donald Trump. They may like him. Some of them might feel that they're going to vote Republican rather than Democrat, and he's it. So in other words, it's vote for Donald Trump. Some of them may have backed other Republican candidates, didn't work out. So it's, look, I'm not going to vote Democrat, it's going to be Donald Trump. But also some of them, aside from what you're saying about other motivations on changes in the law, some of them might just think he's going to win. And this is essentially their backing on an outcome. They believe he's going to win and they want to make sure they're on the right side backing the winner.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because if you're a big business, you don't want to alienate Donald Trump, if particularly if he gets into the White House. And, you know, I think people have spoken quite a lot about this Project 2025, where Donald Trump has basically laid out a manifesto. It's a 900-plus page manifesto for what he would do if he became president. And it's very clear that he's imagining a sort of a presidency that would almost be akin to something that Putin would do, where you will reward the people who stuck with you, where you will reward the oligarchs, the equivalent of the oligarchs, and make, you know, that the rich people can become very, very wealthy if they stick with you. And I think business is making a calculated decision here. They're saying it's too risky, basically, to go against Trump if he gets in. Now, some of them, including Schwarzman, are couching it in kind of bizarre reasonings. Schwarzman, David Sachs, etc. They're saying that they're worried about the rise of anti-Semitism in America, and this is why they are backing Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump has quite a long record of making anti-Semitic remarks. Quite recently, he said that Democrats are Jewish people who vote Democrats, hate their religion. You know, he has said a number of things, going back to the Charlottesville, when he said that there were fine people on both sides of a neo-Nazi march. You know, his record is very, very spotty in that area.
So for you, that reason is not really stacking up. But, okay, if you look at the donors and the money that the Trump campaign says is coming in, and I'm sure a lot of it is coming in, it isn't, that helps his campaign, the money. It isn't just about the money, he's got to secure the votes. The reaction to this verdict, as somebody put it writing in the Financial Times this morning, the question is, will it sway those people who don't love or hate Donald Trump? There might not be many of them, but it might only take a very small number of votes to swing in a particular direction to decide the outcome of the election.
Well, exactly. This election is going to be decided in six states. This election is going to be decided in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. They are the swing states. Democrats keep saying in North Carolina is a swing state. I think they're a little delusional there, but anyway. So it comes right down to these margins. And this, to me, is the big problem with the Electoral College, that regardless of what anyone thinks of Trump or indeed Biden in most of the other states, it doesn't really matter because the die is already cast when it comes to voting. I think that this, you have people, when I've been out at various events, if you talk to people about the prospect of Trump being convicted, they're a little squeamish. Nobody wants a convicted felon in the White House. At the end of the day, whether you're Republican or whether you're Democratic, now Republicans might be furious about this. You have Republican leaders like Mike Johnson, who really should know better, who've been delegitimizing the legal system and blaming it and saying the Supreme Court should step in and overturn this, etc. But it seems a number of polls have been done. Now, I'm skeptical of polls, but it seems that there might be a net change of around 4% when it comes to people who would have voted for Donald Trump who are not prepared to vote for a convicted felon. But what it will do is it will motivate the Trump base even more. But look, they're already going to the polls. The people who are going to vote for Trump will vote for Trump regardless. Independents and moderates may be a little squeamish about the prospect of a convicted felon. But then again, Joe Biden has lost a lot of support in critical pockets in Michigan, which he really needs to win, and Philadelphia, from the Arab American and Muslim vote over his policies in Gaza. Those people may stay home. A lot of people who might have voted for Trump won't vote for Biden, but they may stay home. So it might end up being a wash, really, between the two things.
Conviction or no conviction, it seems to be all to play for very much so. Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.